This is the KOTO Community Radio News for Monday, March 15th. I'm Julia Caulfield. In today's headlines, search and rescue recover skier from Bear Creek. Society Turn development clears first major hurdle. Smart sees potential for partial route electrification. And a mountain weather forecast. But first, KOTO's freeform music format is delivered by local DJs. These enthusiastic volunteers fuel the spirit of the station and keep it fun and funky. Show your support for deep cuts on an album you've never heard and songs that send you back to your childhood. Donate to KOTO by calling 970-728-4333 or going to koto.org. And thank you. A 36-year-old California man was rescued in Bear Creek on Sunday after getting cliffed out in the contention area below the Needle.
He told deputies he was skiing with a ski instructor in a guided group and became separated from them and ended up under the rope in the Bear Creek area. He told deputies he tried to get back to his group, but he became cliffed out, and that's when he called for help.
That's Susan Lilly, public information officer for the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office. Lilly notes the instructor did not lead the group into the backcountry. She says deputies learned of the man in the afternoon, but were unable to get to him until later in the evening.
It was 2 hours in the field just to locate him. It was during a blizzard, poor visibility, high avalanche danger.
Search and Rescue and Telluride Ski Patrol responded to the incident and guided the man toward Town Park. Neither the man nor any in the rescue mission were injured, but Lilly notes the situation could have ended much worse.
This guy could have absolutely spent the night in the cold dark, and he had already, you know, gone through chest deep snow. I'm sure he was very tired, and he had no backcountry equipment because he didn't intend to go in the backcountry, he says. So, you know, if that's the case, then he would have had a very lonely and scary night out in the backcountry by himself.
Lilly emphasizes the incident is a caution to everyone.
Nobody has any business being cliffed out in Bear Creek. And, you know, we don't know if we're going to be able to rescue everybody who becomes cliffed out. There is always that question of how safe is it to go back there? Well, it's never totally safe. So it's a personal and group and agency assessment of who and how and if we're going to come rescue that person.
Telluride Ski Resort officials say they are unable to comment on the events at this time, but are launching a full investigation into the incident. The sheriff's office is also conducting an investigation. A nearly 20-acre development lot at Society Turn has cleared its first major hurdle when San Miguel County's Planning Commission approved the sketch plan for the project. But as Kay Simonson, planning director for San Miguel County, notes, it's just the first step.
From here, it'll go on to the Board of County Commissioners in a public meeting. If they approve it, then the next step is the preliminary PUD, which again comes back to the Planning Commission and then the Board of County Commissioners. And then the final PUD and subdivision goes to the Board of County Commissioners for final approval and signature.
In total, the whole process will likely take around a year. But last week, even a meeting on that first step took nearly 6 hours, with over an hour of deliberation from the commission. The land for the development is owned by Genesee Properties. It sits just west of the Society Turn roundabout on the south side of Highway 145. The sketch plan proposes a mix of open space, land dedicated to the expansion of the wastewater treatment plant, 2.6 acres going to a new medical center, and land for commercial development. Part of that development is a hotel with up to 150 rooms. The proposal also includes over 200 spaces of underground parking. When it comes to public opinion for the development, feelings are mixed. A number of residents in the area shared their opposition through written comment. Denise Traylor was at the meeting and shared her concerns.
This is the first thing everyone will see when they drive into our town. We all want the medical center, but it, as someone said last time, kind of feels like we're selling our soul for it.
But Chris Chafin, board member for the Telluride Regional Medical Center, says approving the development is essential for the region to get a new med center.
You know, for us, the purpose of the med center, we are providing a community benefit. We are much needed life safety services. And a benefit that'll come out of that is wellness that will be great for the entire community, for our members. And as the Board of County Commissioners and the Planning Commission feel appropriate, we welcome entering into the discussion.
Planning Commission members also have concerns, primarily when it comes to density, namely the hotel, and traffic implications. Here's Commission Member Toby Brown.
I'm really struggling with the idea that we'd put any pillows on a piece of property 3 miles outside of town that wasn't an employee housing unit.
And Commissioner Ian Bald doesn't believe a hotel is the only option for the property to be economically viable.
There must be another way to make money out there besides the hotel. It's just attracting too much traffic. We already have a huge traffic problem, as we all know. If you've ever tried to drive into town on at 8 o'clock on a school day, it's sometimes the whole spur shuts down.
Commission member Jocelyn Lifton-Zolene shares Bald's concerns.
You know, I'm someone who grew up in Telluride and has now lived outside of town for the last decade and commutes into town. And although it's anecdotal, I cannot express enough the degree to which the amount of traffic has changed in the mornings driving from Wrights Mesa up to Telluride in that decade. So I'm not looking to slash this deal in such a way that it can't be made to happen. I really want it to happen, but I do think we need to look at the density.
Brown notes he recognizes the scope of the commission's ability to dictate what the developers do with their land is limited, but he hopes they take the concerns into consideration.
You know, this is not like a salad bar where we can take certain components of the application we like, but I would just ask those guys to explore how a different proposal with similar density impacts and similar stuff with traffic problems and all those things, but be housing local people versus strangers driving on the San Juan Highway. And if I see that, I'll understand it, but I'd like them to at least explore that differently or have a response back about the hotel component.
After hours of discussion, the commission voted unanimously to approve the development sketch plan up to the San Miguel Board of County Commissioners. However, they did include a number of recommendations, including a request the developers provide an alternative plan that eliminates the hotel, addresses concerns regarding traffic, and reduces the total square footage of the development. The Board of County Commissioners has not yet set a date for the next public hearing on the development. It could take place in mid-May at the earliest. Diesel vehicles account for 3% of greenhouse gas emissions in San Miguel and Ouray counties. That's according to a 2018 greenhouse gas inventory by EcoAction Partners. Electric vehicles could help reduce that, and they could be soon in the cards for the San Miguel Authority for Regional Transportation to replace their diesel buses, at least partly.
The big news is that the Norwood, Enrico, and Down Valley routes look to be pretty good candidates for electrification.
That's SMART Executive Director David Averill updating the transit body's board of directors on an electric feasibility study at their meeting last week. The study, which kicked off late last year, has been looking at whether SMART's facilities and equipment can support electric buses on each of its routes. Norwood, Rico, and Down Valley could work, April explains, because they don't drive as frequently, and the buses could charge midday. The Lawson Hill and off-season routes, on the other hand, don't look good for electrification right now because of current electric bus battery capacity.
They just don't have the range that we require for those long, those all-day loop-type services.
That doesn't mean it'll never happen. Averill notes the market for the kind of small electric buses they're looking for is rapidly evolving.
So I do believe that at some point we will see some viable choices there for us. But right now, I feel like we'd be sticking our nose, our neck out on those.
Joel Donham agrees. He's a lead engineering consultant with the Center for Transportation and the Environment, the firm partnering with SMART for the study.
It's conceivable that, you know, in 2 or 3 years, we see double the capacity available on these vehicles that'll, you know, effectively double the range there. So yeah, I think you're definitely thinking about that the right way, is that we're, some of these things are doable with today's technology, and some, you know, 5 years is a totally different deal.
SMART board member Adrian Christie isn't as satisfied with that. She wants to at least get numbers for what it could take to get the Lawson and off-season routes electrified sooner.
Those are the most visible routes currently. Yep. And I also feel like those are the ones that are driving the most. And like, while I understand that there is value in having electric buses that are going to Norwood and that, I just feel like if we could find a way to make it work in Lawson, I don't know. That to me just feels better. They all, I mean, I would ideally all of them.
SMART board chair Chris Holstrom has similar feelings.
I think it makes sense to have the cost, and so that we can present that. And, you know, if we find a sugar daddy or whatever to, or funding of whatever source, not to be sexist, you know, that there are sometimes people in our community who would be willing to put their money in there to be able to say, yeah, we're going all electric. So I think it's worth having the range of options.
Donham and Averill say they can get those numbers. And the electric bus feasibility study isn't over yet. Up next, CTE plans to look into training and maintenance requirements and develop a cost-benefit analysis to see how running the electric buses would compare to the diesel ones SMART currently uses. But SMART is starting to get hard data and numbers about what electric buses could mean for the region if and when the rubber hits the road. Telluride is known for its funky, fun charm. But the characters that make up this unique box canyon aren't new. They've been around since the beginning. And in Telluride Theater's newest production, those characters are taking center stage, or screen. High History is the second filmed performance the theater company has created during the pandemic. In collaboration with the Telluride Historical Museum, the theater takes a look back on some of the most famous and infamous members of the community.
It's basically a history play about Telluride in the context of the word high. What does it mean to get high? And we're not just talking about drugs. We're talking about elevation. You know, we live up so high, highfalutin. There's so many different contexts around that. And the show basically starts at the beginning of time up until now, around the history of Telluride. And it's bookended with these two roommates who do get high and discover this history while they are sitting on their couch at home.
That's Sasha Sullivan, artistic director of Telluride Theater and director of High History. Sullivan collaborated with filmmaker Alexei Kalina to bring the story to life. While High History doesn't touch on the pandemic itself, Sullivan notes it was on her mind as she and Telluride Theater executive director Colin Sullivan wrote the script.
It is sort of the moral of the show, is that we are creating history every day. We might not know it, you know, but we are living through history. And, you know, as we're going through this last year, especially with, you know, everything not only happening with COVID, but what's happening in our country in terms of a lot of other stuff, it's what side of history do you want to be on? What is your history and how do you want to contribute to history?
Sullivan adds the production isn't only for those with deep local knowledge already.
Anyone who loves Telluride, you know, from people who live here full time, second homeowners, people that visit once a year, this is a show for you. Telluride's history is so important. We're a historical district and our history is who we are. So I encourage everybody who loves Telluride, who loves our area, to watch this show.
Telluride Theater's High History will stream online at 7 p.m. from March 17th to 21st. Tickets are available at TellurideTheater.org. Seven people were arrested and charged in conjunction with an ongoing investigation into the distribution of methamphetamine and heroin on the Western Slope. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Colorado announced the arrests over the weekend. They join 13 other individuals, all from Montrose, who were charged in the case last year. According to a news release, several defendants were charged with conspiracy to distribute. In addition to the drug conspiracy charges, some defendants face charges related to conspiracy to conduct financial transactions involved in drug distribution. If convicted, the defendants could face up to life in federal prison, depending on the crime. The Colorado Supreme Court says Democratic state lawmakers should not have used computers to block Republicans who were trying to filibuster some of their bigger bills. KOTO's Scott Franz has more.
The issue came up 2 years ago when partisan tension was boiling over at the Capitol. Republicans, who were in the minority, were attempting to block new oil and gas regulations, so they asked for longer bills to be read word for word, which would have taken a human dozens of hours to do. So Democrats used computers to speed things up, leading to this bizarre sound. Republicans sued, and the Supreme Court this week narrowly agreed the speed reading violates the state constitution. That means lawmakers in the minority could have an easier time delaying future legislation. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
The National Weather Service forecast for the Western San Juans calls for a chance of snow showers tonight with partly cloudy skies and a low around 20 degrees. Tuesday, there is a 90% chance of snow showers with a high in the mid-30s. Tuesday night, snow showers could be heavy at times with a low around 15. 4 to 8 inches of snow accumulation is possible. Wednesday, expect mostly sunny skies during the day and mostly clear skies at night with a high near 40 and a low around 15 degrees. This has been the news for Monday, March 15th. Thanks for listening. If you have a story idea or a news tip, call the news team at 728-3206. We would like to thank everyone who has donated to CODO during our Winter Fund Drive. A huge thank you to Kathleen Erie and Harry Hartman, Debbie Guarino, Andrew Malloy, Jay Rabel, Walter Weatherson, Carrie and Joe DiStefano, Francesca Renberg, Jimbo Tewksbury, Ava Halper, Larry Mallard, Heath Down, Eileen Clogus, Pamela Bennett, Rodney Porsche, Kate Gruber, Robert and Heidi Stenhammer, John Love, Kevin Donegan, Steven Steinberg, Gene Patton, Scott Walker, Lucy Lerner, Joan Knowles, Rahim Kwazai, Alan and Marcia Doctor, Matt Kuzmich, Shelley Wu, John Barnes, Karen Redden, Michael Goldberg, Dave Valentine, Willie Halstead, Charlie Dennison, Tara Carter, Bill and Cheryl Jensen, and David Oyster. Thank you all so much. And now, a personal commentary.
Attention all parents. Do you feel stressed out? Bright Futures is partnering with neurofeedback and behavioral consulting expert Aaron Axe to bring you another free virtual workshop, this time on the science behind self-care. Hi, this is Madeline with Bright Futures. The science behind self-care will take place in English on Wednesday, March 24th from 6 to 7 p.m. on Zoom. During this workshop, we will answer questions like, what is stress? How do we pass it on to our children? How does it affect their development? And we will provide simple self-care strategies for parents to try at home. Attendees who complete a short survey after the workshop will receive a $10 gift card to their local coffee shop. For more information or to register, please visit our website, brightfuturesforchildren.org. You can also email me at madeline@brightfuturesforchildren.org.
Opinions broadcast over KOTO are those of the speakers. You are also invited to express your views after the news or on Access each weekday at around 4 p.m. If you would like to comment, please contact a staff person here at KOTO. We encourage you to speak out on important public issues.